There's a thing that has been happening since, especially, it's happened since we in Stealth have begun studying the peace offering, the meat offering, excuse me. And it's especially happened since we've become informed and aware of what the salt means in the offering. And it's perceptible. It's perceptible in the body. I can see it. Especially in Stealth, but it's filtered off into the other areas too. There is more of a sense of comfort. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a more secure anchor to eternity among, especially Stealth. And it's really awesome when you think about it. How important the fact that the salt has to be a part of the meat offering, and what that's and what that does. Yeah. The very act of studying and apprehending the meat offering has begun the process of causing us to no longer look at each other after the flesh. It's causing us to know no man after the flesh. It's causing us to have a sense of eternity in our relationships with each other. And that, by its nature, will transform the relationships with no effort. And that's incredible news to me, you know, who's been trying to keep this together for so many years. You know. It's like, it's just neater than anything. And I don't know how I don't know if anybody else has noticed it or seen it or even thought about it or articulated it, but it's perceptible to me. And it's because the need of. Because of the slow apprehension of the meat offering, and especially the aspect that salt, the component of eternity, has to be in that meat offering. And I'm supremely thankful that it's taking place.
As you said that, it just dawned on me what salt does to raw flesh.
I should celebrate with a glass of wine.
Do you have some?
Or strawberries.
Why don't you go get Rick's wine? We should have a toast.
Yeah.
We'll come up with our own.
Why not?
No,
hey, look at that.
Wine? No, I was going to have a glass of wine in honor of Doug.
You got some vinegar.
No, wine. Whining.
Oh,
whining.
In that case, I'll break out the good stuff. I've got some good stuff.
Here. No. Wait. Don't do it. I'm just kidding.
I'll have a cup of gall.
Is it whining or dining?
It's raw chowder.
Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 3. Starting in verse 11, for this is the message it doesn't say that. It says, for this is the commandment. This is the mitzvah. This is the really the one command. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That was the commandment that was heard at it was the second table of the law that all had to do with the loving of one another. Not as Cain. Now again, that's why we're going here, because I believe that John is talking about what we've been talking about. I think he's talking about the meat offering. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Why slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There is no other evidence on the face of the earth that you have passed from life unto death except the love of the brethren. The end of the commandment is unfeigned love of the brethren. You know that you have passed from life unto death because you love the brethren. By definition, then, if you have to love them simply because they're brethren, for no other reason, without condition, Now this will.
Well, from death unto life.
Hmm?
From death unto life, he kept saying life unto death. Past from life. You may be on a tape. Somebody may be getting this tape.
Okay. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now he abideth in death no matter what he says. No matter what his belief system is, no matter what he thinks about, no matter how much he protests, if he loveth not his brother, he's abiding in death. The reason is that, remember we've talked about it, it's the burnt offering with his. It always says, remember throughout Numbers, the burnt offering with his meat offering. The burnt offering with his meat offering. The burnt offering is to the Father. The meat offering is to the fellow man, is to the brother. We know that we've made the burnt offering by the fact that the meat offering exists. I don't know how to say that any more clearly. There's no evidence in time and space that the burnt offering has been made. Except, well, there's sort of evidence. You'll stop making burnt offerings anywhere else. You know. But fundamentally, that's not really testable. That's always anecdotal or subjective. But the test of whether or not you've made the burnt offering is that you make the meat offering, and the meat offering is unfeigned love of the brother.
Because it's not possible without the brother.
The two have to be together.
No, the two have to be together. That's why everything about God has to be tested vis-a-vis man. That's why if you think about it from a cosmic standpoint, what man would instantly try to do with this is to make religion something that isn't 24 hours a day. He'd make it segmented so there would just be certain times that he would be confronted with God stuff. You understand why? Because then whether or not he has been tested by the meat offering isn't real. He never is tested by the meat offering. He can have these grand words and grand sayings. It means nothing. He can have all kinds of religious trappings, means nothing.
He can do good works.
Means nothing. It has to be, herein know we that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, by no other way. Now, that's why the idea, do you have aught against anyone, or does anyone have aught against you, is so vile before each of the feasts. That's why, and again, before you bring your gift to the altar, they were talking specifically about those three pilgrimage feasts. But, you know, that doesn't excuse you so that you can just do, you know, deal with it because it says don't let the sun go down in your anger either, but... But that particular scripture in Matthew, where it says, when you bring your gift to the altar, if there you remember that your brother has aught against you, or you have aught against your brother, either way, then you leave your gift and go and be reconciled. Why? Because the implication is that the gift is the burnt offering, and it's meaningless unless it's made manifest with the meat offering.
Yeah.
And it's, you no longer have the luxury of excusing yourself from someone's company. Think how many times you've done that in the past. Some offering wasn't accepted, something didn't go right, and you have the luxury of quitting the job, you have the luxury of leaving, you have the luxury of divorcing your wife, our wives. You have all kinds of options in the world that give you the illusion of success and separation. Here, that's disaster. I mean, that's why in this, and it's forced us into weirdness. I mean, think of the years. Think of the years of weirdness. It's forced us into weirdness. But it's forced us and it's wrenched us to a point where, my God, there's always been this thought there. My God, I don't have to worry about somebody's weirdness. He's already met that offer. He's already made it. All I have to do is apprehend it. What I see is what I do. What I hear is what I see. What I see is what I do. What I taste defines my desires. What I touch is what I have dominion over, and what I eat is what gives me life. And now, all of the offerings are coming into focus vis-a-vis our five senses. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now that's really bad, because see, earlier it says, see, to hate is to withhold from. To murder is to withdraw. That's what everything earlier has said. But now he says, if I hate, I've murdered already. In other words, if I hate, if I have withheld from you this minute, and God chooses in this twinkling of an eye to come, the evidence is that either you or I, aren't going to be in the picture. Because we've abided in hate. That's why prophecy must be. That's why mind talk must be destroyed above all things. The evilness of mind talk is beyond comprehension. It's what gives you life and success and hating. It causes you to be able to hate with impunity. With the thought, with the illusion of impunity. But God knoweth your heart. If your heart is in that condition, at the point of the end, your history. That's why time exists. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but at all should come to repentance, so that there is no hate among the brethren. God no more gives a shit what's going on in the world or with those that are coming in and out. He cares about the brethren. The world is just that which tests the brethren. And the brethren can't pass the test unless they apprehend the meat offer. The brethren will always hate each other. Because all of the sustained husbands and wives will always hate each other, without exception, without the meat offer. Friends will always hate each other, without the meat offer. Brethren will always hate each other, without the meat offer. Therefore, none of them could have been brethren until the meat offer. Is that the end? Can you see the evilness of mind talk a little bit better? It permits you to hate with the illusion of impunity. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life. And the word there, the word for life there is suchi, soul. He laid down his soul for us. We ought to lay down our souls for the brethren.
Sounds like something might have taken place at the upper room. When the 120 were gathered.
Well, but it's not just a one shot. It's a constant. It's a continuum.
There's something about, you know, being a three-part being that's wrapped up in this, you know, having body, soul, and spirit, and you have
the peace offering, the meat offering, and all together in your one self, and you're gathered all together in this, and without that you're not. You're fragmented.
Amen.
You're really fragmented without these three parts being active.
Yeah, you stay separated. You stay in three parts, and you'll create a philosophy or a theology that justifies the three parts. Remember the Tzaddik, and each of you that are teachers are Tzaddiks in the ancient system. Each of you that are Levites are Tzaddiks. A Tzaddik is one who, what?
It goes into the Holy of Holies and repairs the wall.
Yes, but what does he do? The Tzaddik spiritualizes the natural. He makes the commonplace extraordinary. He spiritualizes the natural, the role of a Tzaddik.
I was telling, Larry that the other day, how just, I don't know, it just seems recently, over the last, it just seems like I
see
things. I put everything into the spiritual term.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Again, it happens, and we don't have to worry about it. What we hear is what we see. What we see is what we do. What we touch is what we have dominion over. What we taste defines what we desire. What we eat defines who we are.
Yeah, there's just those points whenever each one of our own Bible studies, especially, I think we've all experienced it, but that when there's this point of fellowship and understanding, there is a rightness, you know, that you feel a part of it. I mean, it does. It hits you to the very core. I mean, nothing could be more complete a feeling than that. We don't often. I mean, it is the meat offering and the peace offering. We don't always, you know, have perfect understanding. But you know, there has been that experiential.
Amen.
You know that
we've been touched by it without us knowing it. Now we know it. We can define what we have been known by.
Yeah.
And therefore, we can share it. Therefore, our language now has fulfilled its purpose. All of the language, all of the words in the universe are only for that purpose, to share the meaning of the meat offering. That's pretty heavy.
It was just a big click in me. Felt like it slid into place when you said that. That for the Levites too, the job is to spiritualize the coming place. I've heard it before, but this is the first time I heard it, and something just shifted, and it's like.
Because, I mean, all the priests and Levites, everybody in this room was a priest or a Levite. You've lost the right to yourself. That's the most joyous, that's the highest position that a human being can ever get to. It's the highest calling there is in the face of the earth. Now, you can then take that calling and you simply, by your words, by your life, you spiritualize the natural. Your destiny is fulfilled. You don't have to worry about having some, what am I going to do, shit. You are shit. I mean, you are it. You know, you guys know, did I tell you what's probably going to be in the article? Let me show you.
You didn't use any curse words.
Oh, yes, I did.
Quitting smoking is one thing, but giving up those four-letter words is another.
It just has to be a pop to them.
This is the one that a lot of you have already heard this, but this is the religious truth. See, he asked me to compare us with the other religions.
Oh, no.
And I did.
We're not sitting there.
No. You said, Taoism says shit happens. Confucianism says... Confucius say shit happens. Buddhism, if shit happens, it's not really shit. Zen Buddhism, what is the sound of shit happening?
And if there's no one there to hear it, does shit happen?
Hinduism, this shit happened before. I love that one. Islam says, if shit happens, it is the will of Allah. Protestantism says, let shit happen to someone else. Catholicism says, if shit happens, you deserved it. Judaism says, why does shit always happen to us?
That's a Judaism.
And to us, the shit is only hiding the gold.
I saw a bumper sticker.
There's gold in that shit somewhere.
But I think that's in the story.
I saw a bumper sticker that said, I know shit.
But I think it could be on the sidebar. What?
It was God's car. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, I make shit happen. God driving a car.
There's George Burns.
Verse 17. 16 says, hereby perceive. Again, remember, this is 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive, hereby we see, hereby we know, experience the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Now that's, we've gone through a lot of stuff. And we've gone through the stuff for one reason, and one reason only, so that we are no longer opposing ourselves. And hereby, verse 19, we know. Epignosis. The knowledge is become mixed with us. We and the knowledge are one. We are what we believe. We've experienced what we know. We are mystics. We know. And that knowledge can only come by years and years and years and years and years of making mistakes. Somebody, one of these infinite number of people, told the reporter about the firewalking. And so I said to him with full assurance, I said, we have made 10 million mistakes, and we will make 10 million more.
Hopefully not that same one.
We will not make that same one over again. But that's what, I mean, that's what blows him away, is because there's nothing hidden.
That's pretty wild. To supply the names of people, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, being our own investigative reporter. You know, it's like we don't have to do anything. There's all this stuff.
I mean, but we know. That's the rarest thing in the universe. It's rarer than life. In the universe is for a people that know. Hereby we know. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Now listen to us. This is the most important scripture you'll ever hear from now on. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son and love one another, his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
What does it mean exactly when it means?
our heart and condemn us.
When you don't have any consciousness, if your heart condemns you, it condemns you not, then you don't have any consciousness of your heart or yourself. If your heart condemns you, you have consciousness of it, and you're trying to self-justify it.
It's only.
You think you're proving there's something could be there.
That
sounds good.
You're poopy.
That would be like the technical way of saying it.
That's what greater scholars.
Well, like down here at Criswell Bible Institute, they would probably use the term poopy. Find that
here. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now in that same context, remember there's no chapters here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test, this is to you, test the spirits or the teachers, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The Antichrist, the instead of Christ, confesses that he did come and that he will come, but he will never confess that he is come. He cannot confess that. He will explode. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The most arrogant statement in the universe. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. How can you make such a statement? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Again, John did a study of the word ought a while back. The word there for ought isn't something as a moral option. It's the word that means the fruit of the love of God. I mean, it's what will happen. You understand? It's not, it's inevitable. The sun ought to come up.
You said earlier He that believe that he has come and he will come again.
That's the Antichrist.
The Antichrist, and he that believe that he has come.
That's Christ.
Well, where does the second coming come in? I mean, it's like in Revelation where he comes and it talks about where he comes in a cloud and every eye shall see him, even if it pierce him, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that we rise and those that are alive remain.
That shall not come unless there come the falling away first, in which the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. That'll come the instant the son of perdition is revealed. At that moment, coming is the joining of that which is in eternity and that which is in providence, and here will join. At that instant, time will have lost its purpose.
We believe he has come, is come, and will come. But there, some people say he just has come and will come, and can't figure out
okay.
how he is
okay.
coming.
I got you now.
Okay.
the longest time that bugged me when I first read it, and kept going over and over because of the contradiction of Christ telling the apostles, if any man say that I'm in this cave or in the desert or in this room, believe him not, for no man shall know when I come. And then here's John, much later, writing down, Christ, he has come. And that, for the longest time, that just was contradiction. So I realized John understood and saw through,
right. And
realized that he was Christ. Christ was him, and therefore he was no man.
Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and the love and his love is perfected. And that's what we want to avoid. We want to avoid the process of perfecting. Perfecting is the word teleos.
It's kind of like your hip being perfected.
Yeah, Winslow is trying this. Winslow, the ligaments in my hip, because of the muscle spasms over the years, have stretched. So I'm going to need a hip replacement unless something can happen. So what he's done is he's got this huge long needle. It's 5 inches, 5 or 6 inches long. Anyway, he sticks this needle in. 5 or 6 inches long. And he injects those ligaments with enzymes that cause them to be like
elastic.
No, that cause them to be act like they're injured. And then the body goes in and rebuilds where it's like it's injured. It's like it's cut or something. And so I think it's working. But it hurt. I had to go there today and this needle goes, he just.
Did you cry?
No. But it's a neat thing because, for now, this is the third week, my hip, when I've gone back in, hasn't been out of socket.
Wow.
Got it.
That's great.
And so there's one more treatment. And it'll be, it's just.
Maybe you can do the same for the rest of your body. What a terrible thing. Stick giant needles all over
you. Why'd you suggest it?
Just a lot. He might could do something for your knee, John.
I know, I just.
You might have to do something for your knee.
Hey, I'm okay.
In your back.
Or if you can make my fingers.
God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, we lose the majesty of that statement in English. If he's the only begotten Son, if he's the seed that, if the promises of Abraham go only to him, not to the seeds as of many, but to him, then who are we? If he's the last Adam, who are we? And we've gone through this so many times. Because what man tries to do, he tries to take these majestic scriptures, which are talking about the article with the exclusivity, meaning only Jesus, and apply them to the whole world. It doesn't work that way. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Fully tested, complete. Herein is that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now the reason that you can have boldness in the day of judgment is because you've been tested at the judgment seat. In other words, there's not a single bit of self left in you. In other words, there's no more self-justification. There's no more It's all him. It's all Christ.
There's nothing to judge.
There is no fear in love, but perfect or perfected love has cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And again, the word, it's he that feareth, is it should be, the way you would translate that, better translate, is he that is still in a state of fear is not yet made perfect, yeah. Has not yet been perfected.
Yeah, we first back to 12. Love perfect.
We love him, and him isn't in there. You can cross it out from your Bibles. We love because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, I believe that everything we've just been reading is John expounding on the meat offer. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the, pay attention to the these. It calls attention to the uniqueness, the only, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. That's hard to say. I need to try to say that again. And everyone that loveth him that begatteth loveth. What was that? You want to try it?
Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
Pretty good.
No, it's because I'm German. He's Norwegian.
By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. What is he talking about here? Remember we talked about all the waters and all the blood and the meaning, the fullness of the meaning of the blood from all of the sacrifices, the fullness of the meaning of the water from all the acts of purification. And when we apprehend those three in the earth and those three in heaven, and they join, it's like plugging us into eternity. That's what's been going on. It's taking a long time to get the plug in. But it's sure and it's inexorable.
Thing in verse 2, it's almost like he's turning around again and saying, but what about the meetup? The meetup?
Yeah.
You know, how do you know somebody's doing the meetup?
Amen.
You know, because they love God, because there's the burnt offering. It's
amen.
It has to be there.
Amen. They can't be separated. Even Christ, who was the perfect offering for the needs of humanity, they still had to go to the cross to be the burnt offering.
It's like a drunk man that stumbles home and tries to get his key in the door, and he tries to stick it in the side of the house.
Yeah.
Stumbles around, sticks it in the door, finally finds it.
If we finally find the right key. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself already, is what it says. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not on the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All that's saying is that eternity, again, it's what we said so often, eternity isn't some time in the future. Eternity is the life that Jesus lived. It's the life that he lives. If you could conceive this, the life that Jesus lives encompasses all of eternity. To be in eternal life, you have to be in him. You can't conceive of eternity without him. The lake of fire shall burn forever, but forever isn't eternity. Forever just lasts as long as there is time. Can you conceive of that?
That's interesting.
Forever will end when there's time is no more. Eternity abides. Eternity is the life that Jesus lives. It's separate from the concept of time. Hell, Gehenna, Hades, the lake of fire, is tied to time. It's the tale of time. There's all kinds of stupid theology based on a misunderstanding of that. They think that heaven and eternity and hell are going to continue simultaneously ad infinitum into the future.
When I think about that, it's like, you know, the people who gripe about not getting an unfair wage, and God said, you know, you labored at the same rate or for the same rate, different periods of time, but there's one reward.
That's right.
And hell, you know, it would seem to be the same way. Whether you go in it at one point or another, it lasts for this for indefinite, interminable period of time.
Well, from your perspective,
forever.
It does. If you're in it, it looks like it's forever, for eternity.
Also, if it's destroyed or done away with, that doesn't really help either.
Well, there lies the point.
Like you're just
it would be if you were suffering.
Yeah, but it's incomprehensible. It's a meaningless concept. It's like trying to decide what it was before. It's a non sequitur from a logical standpoint. You're trying to mix two different things and make them come to a common. You have to think about it separately. Eternity is simply the life that Jesus Christ lives. Any time and at all time. Hell, or the concept of forever, can only last as long as there is time. When the scriptures say, when the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more, then anything that is time dependent, including the dump, has to be destroyed.
Because it's no longer necessary.
There's no place for it, because everything in the universe has to pass through that dot that's smaller than the eye can see, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what we're about to see.
Well, I won't be preaching on that anytime soon. Not until I have a personal understanding of this.
Okay.
It is obviously more to it than just that, because forever and eternal are basically the same words. You know,
well,
and there's other scriptures that add.
But it's the concept of olam in the Hebrew, which is the vanishing point.
I don't
think
I want to hear you preaching on it.
All right, but this now we're getting to some good parts here.
Yeah, all this other stuff wasn't.
Yeah, we're almost to 3 John.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Simple. Period. All the other discussions about anything else are meaningless. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And that you might may believe on the name of the Son of God. It might be mixed with you that you have. It might be epignosis. That eternity and you might become one. When salt enters the food or the beef or the meat or whatever it is, salt by definition permeates every molecule of that entity. When eternity enters into your consciousness, when you truly understand this meat offering, you will be imbued with eternity, with the salt, that'll color every aspect of your life and every aspect of your thoughts. You will be living in eternity. You will know, you will be mixed with eternity. I mean, that's what this says. Do you understand? This isn't something I made up. Vic thinks I make everything up.
No, not everything.
Oh.
Nobody else in here ever thought that.
Right. What are you laughing at, Steve? Huh? Yeah. We came in Bible study late the other day, and I said, Miss Fifi, and he said, that's Mr. Fifi to you.
Could be both brave and cowardly at the same time. You got to see the great logo he came up for your TV show.
Oh, really?
Cheer it up.
And this is the confidence. I want you to start thing about the apprehension of the meat offering as you begin to walk in confidence. A confidence that nothing and no one else in the universe can know anything about. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask Him anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now how can we ask? Then we no longer will get caught up in that discussion of whether or not what we're asking is in His will or not. Why? Because our senses have been exercised to discern soul from spirit. Our senses have been moved and we are one with Him. We are in eternity. Therefore, we can call forth from nothing something.
Yeah, the confidence of this place was established back over in this other thing about by this love of the brethren.
Amen.
And
it's been perfected, tested, all these years. That's why nobody ever understands. You know, people don't understand. Have you ever read any books? If you want to get a read Wally Amos Criswell's exegesis of 1 John. It makes me cry. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. The act of asking for it is the evidence that we already have it. Now I can't tell you how neat that is. Each one of you in some way has experienced that. It's like you don't confess in order to be forgiven. If you confess in order to be forgiven, by definition, you're only admitting. You get a lot of admitting going on, right? The fact that you confess is the evidence that you know you're forgiven. You understand that? And here, the fact that we ask is the evidence that we know we already have it.
Yeah. Like you bring it to life, and it is life. Bam.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
And you can do this, again, because of the meat offering, because of the salt, because being mixed with eternity. You don't have to go wandering around wondering, oh, am I in the will of God or not? Do I sin? Have I sinned? Is there secrets? Of course you sin. You're a vessel. It doesn't justify. You don't want to go out and try to do more. Like Demetrius, he came into the lair after he had screwed up the night before and didn't make the work and all that. He came in and he was tears running down his eyes. He says, and I was talking to somebody else, and he just stood there right in front of me. Oh, I was chewing up Rick. That's what I was doing. What?
Having a little Beamer for breakfast.
No, I was having Beamer for lunch. Boy, did he get in trouble.
That's another story.
I used to think you run fair, but I believe Rick needs it. I don't see you around a little more lately. I used to think, how he picks on Rick.
Anyway, Demetrius says, I finally paid some attention to him. Demetrius says, I want to make an announcement. And I said, you don't want to make an announcement, just sit down. And so he sat down, and again, he thought he had screwed up too badly to be accepted. You know, and I kind of made fun of him a little bit, you know. You want to go out for javelin catcher? That's a new position in Levite them.
It's a coinkidink.
Anyway, the point of, you know, there's nothing that anybody could have done to any one of us that it would be too bad for us not to accept him back. Because of the meat offering. Whatever anybody's obligation to you that you can think of, it's already been met by the meat offering. Whatever your obligation that you can think of to anyone else has already been met by the meat offering. Again, as you hear it, you will see it. As you see it, it'll become manifested. What? You look pained.
I made the mistake of letting my eyes get down to the next sentence, so I'm waiting to find out what the next sentence
means. We're not going to the next sentence.
Yeah, let him suffer.
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen? That's a good place to quit. Anyway, the thing, be aware, see it, call it forth. Call the salt, call the component of eternity forth from the brethren.
That I clued in on is this notion of forever and fire, hell, and hitting. Fire isn't a thing, it's a process. It's where a chemical reaction occurs and the potential energy in the thing is released, leaving nothing but waste.
Right.
And so it's like it has to have time. That's what fire exists, it needs that time. And then it hit me, salt doesn't burn. Salt is a stable element that doesn't go through a chemical reaction. It changes the things that come in contact with it.
Right.
And you can get it back.
Of course, you did have the burning bush. It burned but did not consume. Left no waste.
That's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Well, so it's still a miracle.
It was the flaming torch in the furnace that went through the same fire that went through the offerings.
I keep thinking to stop. I don't like to talk about past stuff, but I remember going to a church on a Wednesday night to scan money for to go out, and going up to this lady laying a smear on her with tears in my eyes, and she just handed me like $40 and said, "God told me to give you this." Yeah, but it was just, and her God did tell her to give it to me. Her God was the God that I served.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's so plain there, you know, that of course he would. You know, he's the God of this world. I mean, he's the deceiver. He's the one. You know,
that's great.
Would you like to sell pulpits?
Oh, you need a big guy.